This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January 23rd, 2009. When the week began, the Argentine bean crop had been saved by a few timely rains, and then again, maybe not. By the end of the week, the corn crop in South America was in trouble. Is the weather market in January, or simply one starved for news? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell from North America Risk Management. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, and Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Now, here are the way the markets settled for the week ending January the 23rd. March wheat, a high this week of $5.98¾, a low at $5.48¼. Settlement at $5.82¾, up 4.5 cents from last Friday. July futures, $6.06¼, up 4 cents week over week. Corn futures, March contract, $4.07, the top, the bottom at $3.76¼. A settlement price at $3.90½, down 0.5 cent. And December futures from the corn pit in Chicago, 0.75 cents lower week to week, $4.36, the settlement price. Soy complex at this hour, March beans 10.37, the high, the low at 9.77½. Settlement price on the week down 11 cents at $10.09, and the noves finish 9.43¼. November beans for 2009 down 28¾ cents on the week. Live cattle futures, February contract, 83.80, the high, the low at 81.12½, and a settlement price for the Febs at 82.67½, down $1.85 for the week. January down $1.35 for the feeder cattle at $93.65, and lean hogs settled the February contract at $60.30 on the high, the low at 58.50. Down $1.25, with a settlement price for the February lean hogs at $58.92½.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Commodity Week is a production of WILL AM 580. It's public radio from the University of Illinois. Again, our panelists in studio this week are Brian Stark, Wayne Nelson, and Paul Cooley. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Paul Cooley, does the recent action in the marketplace feel more like a South American weather market to you, or just a simple return to seasonal winter trade?
Well, definitely the fundamentals with the smaller soybean acreage planted, the very dry conditions, and reports of maybe 10 million ton reduction in Argentine bean yields being dropped and 5 million metric tons of corn being lost, as well as other dry areas in South America, gave the market support. But the market is extremely scared with the stock market, bad earnings at Merrill Lynch, major bank problems, and they're waiting patiently for major stimulus packages to come out of Congress and the White House, and it doesn't seem like they're coming forward very fast.
Wayne Nelson, a weather market or seasonal trade?
Well, I think the weather market is the overriding factor. It's helping keeping this thing alive, and all the things that Paul said and many more. The economy is in bad shape right now, and the world economy is not very healthy. Thank God for China and their bean imports for right now, Todd. And without them, I think we'd see a lot lower market. But the weather market is what is the main thing driving this right now.
Brian Stark, do you concur?
I concur with both of them. I think right now South America is the main driver. And without their presence or problems, who knows where we'd be trending to with the economic situation.
All right. Given all of that, what do you think it means for the insurance setting month of February and any battle that might take place at that point?
Well, I think it's very important. Next month is huge for the producer. That's our floor that we look to protect our revenue, and we have to hope, and I remind producers, hope isn't a good trading strategy, but we have to hope that we see some sort of price appreciation next month, because that's where we're going to be able to protect our income.
Well, Todd, it's a lot sadder than it was just a year ago now, because last year we had some very, very good targets and some good bottoms we could put under with our revenue insurance that way. And this year does look to be much lower, and it's going to be very close to whether we can insure all of our production costs compared to last year, where we could insure a profit.
I'm surprised I'm asking you this, Paul Cooley, but are you in favor of a stimulus package? And how big do you think it ought to be? What kinds of things should come?
Well, yes, I am. And one of the things that, as a landowner and growing up in the grain business and being a shareholder in a major grain company, you know, the farm programs have helped the American farmer a lot, and it's our turn to help Main Street and Wall Street a lot and try to get the economy going. My general impression is that we need a Secretary of Agriculture. He is from the right state, but he does have to be vocal about increasing the blends on ethanol, putting stimulus packages in that area, as well as putting a lot of money in new stimulus packages and getting the economy going again, because we are getting the feeling that the economy is probably worse. We've lost trillions of dollars in this economy, and it is scaring a lot of people.
Of course, the new Secretary of Agriculture, the former governor of Iowa, Secretary Vilsack, do you think will he move to update the locks and dams? Will that finally get done? Will it be part of the stimulus package?
Well, it would be nice if it was. Obviously, that's a key component to agricultural trade, the ability to have smooth transportation. So hopefully that's on the agenda. Obviously, from a commercial grain point of view, that would be a good thing.
Reported corn export sales this week topped 1 million metric ton. The trade took this as a good sign. But there's a healthy bit of skepticism out there, Wayne Nelson, suggesting the pop came because of a logistical problem moving corn into a place for the Gulf. What's your story there?
Well, I think there was two things there. I think logistics probably did play into the one big pop week, but I think also that we are now down, so we are somewhat competitive, and the prices got down low enough. And let's face it, there's a lot of people who have been standing on the sidelines forever, and eventually you do have to buy something. So all of those came together. We had a darn good week.
Let's go back to the weather market. Paul, have you spoken with your favorite meteorologist, also known as the one you have the most faith in, about the situation in the southern hemisphere? And if so, would you like to share the wealth? Would you like to share the knowledge on that one?
Yeah, he's a little wetter than the typical street weather forecaster. He does think that there's a rain shot this weekend, and the following weekend looks good. The good thing about this early shot is it's mainly in the north one-third of Argentina, and there's other two-thirds of Argentina that we have to be concerned about. The question we ask him also is, everyone's going back to 2003, and I ask him about, did it start raining in 2003? This would be like the end of July here, and he said he's going to have to spend some time looking at it. But most of the street was basically looking at 50-60% coverage of a quarter to three quarters of an inch, and I think that's what the market went home with.
And will the market, if that occurs, will the market be aware that timely rains are more important, I suppose, than amounts of rain for the crop as it seems to have been here in recent years?
You know, my contention is that with less fertilizer, less rotation, less inputs into the crop, that the debate will still be around. But my opinion is that the crop has been hurt a great deal, and the smaller acreage. So on one hand, I think it's a debatable position, and the verdict is still out.
Well, let me go across the board, and maybe we'll get something quick from you, Paul, and get the other two folks to answer as well. If the rain comes, as predicted by your meteorologist, how bad will next week be in the bean pit?
I'm going to say it'll be lower Sunday night.
I think, Todd, as we look at that, it depends on how much rain and what it looks like for the rest of the week. If it's half the amount that's forecast and it says dry the rest of the week, we could easily pop on Sunday night. If we get what's forecasted and even what some of the meteorologists going up to an inch and a quarter say, we could be down 20 cents.
And I agree with Wayne. I think Sunday night and into Monday could be wild, but I think once they look at it, 3/4 inch, given their current situation, isn't probably going to be enough. It's going to have to be consistent rain over the course of time to make a difference.
There have been many suggesting that both corn and soybeans probably ought to be moved on some of the marketplace at this point. Given what you see in your elevator, have farmers, are they satisfied at this point with where they are, or are they going to have to move crop in the month of February, which is usually a time that they actually start to open the corn bins up at least?
Well, it's in our opinion, Todd, that right now the farmer is sitting pretty good for cash flow reasons. If he took a good revenue policy this past year, he's going to get a decent payment here, or has got a decent payment. So he can afford to be patient. I don't think he's happy with the flat price. Basis has been on fire working from western Ohio, eastern Indiana into western Indiana, spilling over into central Illinois because of the need of the processor and what Wayne mentioned earlier, the hand-to-mouth buying. So at some point, the farmer's going to move his corn. He's going to try and wait as long as he can for a flat price that he's looking for. The problem I see for the farmer this year is the fact that this quality of the crop was not as good, and I think that may force a decision before price does.
And the quality meaning you think they'll have to move it out of the bin because it'll get too hot?
Exactly. I think it was a wetter fall. There's a lot more FM, and I think at some point they're going to have to move it because most of the producers we talk to don't want to carry this crop until July or August.
Well, I think number one, the soybeans, $10. We have seen, the farmers spoon feed the market with that. We did see new crop corn bid at $4 a bushel today. Out of the field. My general impression is that the corn is the problem. Compared to year-ago prices at this time, it's not too bad a price when it's all said and done. $4 will buy a lot of old crop corn in the next 30 days.
Paul, last week ADM gathered the Brain Trust. That's all of you folks, IBs and others, brokers, in Chicago. I don't know how many were there. Maybe you can give us an idea on that, and then give me if there's a general sentiment about the marketplace from Chicago and the brokers that would be in the field.
Well, it was a wonderful meeting, and a tip of the hat to ADM investors for, giving us a taste of Chicago, so to speak, and they did a beautiful job. My general impression is, Dan Bassey was there, and his general impression is that the Chinese livestock production is larger, and they're going to do everything they can to keep the livestock population demand going into the marketplace. The Chinese farmer knows how to raise corn and wheat, but their bean skills aren't the best, and they are buying tons of U.S. and world soybeans into the marketplace. I think the hope is that this demand does continue. Their contention is that the world economy will pick up in the Pacific and Rim quicker and help lift it here. My idea is that it's going to take higher oil prices and a strength in the U.S. stock market before we see that happen.
One other quick question for you, Paul, since you were there last weekend, and I know that Wayne was not, although he's an ADM broker, he introduces through ADM, clears through them on the brokerage side. What I think this is the first time you probably got a handle on some of the Iowa grain folks that have been incorporated into ADM. What do they bring to the investor services?
Well, I don't think it's proprietary information, but we have a total of 200 introducing brokers. There were 60 introducing brokers from Iowa. It does give ADM a very strong presence on the Chicago Board of Trade and Chicago Mercantile and the futures market, and we welcome aboard, and there's a lot of sharing of ideas from both Iowa, and also the ADM group.
1 minute before we go to a break, are you bullish, bearish, neutral, the marketplace?
Well, I'm going to say neutral to slightly bullish.
Neutral to slightly bullish, especially old crop beans.
Well, I think we have to be say the trend is officially higher both in corn and soybeans at this time.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell. He's with North America Risk Management based out of Chicago, Illinois, at least his office, and we'll take up more of the marketplace with him. Remember, if you'd like to hear this program again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Commodity Week is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, a land-grant institution.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Although still well below normal, the weather gradually moderated this week as high pressure moved to the East Coast and southerly winds returned to the Midwest. Temperatures across Illinois this week range from about 2 degrees below normal in southwestern Illinois to 8 degrees below normal in the snow-covered northeastern half of Illinois. High temperatures finally rose to around 30 on Wednesday, with even warmer weather on Thursday. Temperatures across parts of central Illinois rose above 50 degrees, but remained mostly in the 40s over snow-covered areas. Other than some light snow across south-central Illinois and lake-effect snow in northeastern Illinois early in the week, it was a dry week across the state. So far this month, precipitation is well below normal in all but far northern Illinois, while snowfall is near to above normal in the northern half of the state. Our encounter with warmer weather was short, as another front ushered in much colder air to Illinois on Friday. The colder weather will be with us until about midweek, when southwesterly winds will again bring some milder air prior to the next storm system. Precipitation is likely again about Thursday, with more cold weather to follow by next weekend. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio for this January the 23rd edition of Commodity Week are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson out of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Our guest is Jerry Goodell from North America Risk Management Services in Chicago, Illinois, where he serves as an associate specializing in the cash and futures grain markets. North America Risk Management Service, by the way, is a consulting and brokerage service headquartered in Livingston, Texas. They have a local office there in Chicago. With more than 30 years of experience in the commodity analysis and brokerage area, Jerry focuses on providing risk management services to livestock and grain producers as well as commercial operations. Thanks for being with us, Jerry.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
It sounded to me, as we talked just beforehand on this program, that things in Chicago were awfully excited about South American weather over the weekend, maybe more so than what we heard here from the panel. Is that the case?
Well, definitely. All the information is being coming out of the Buenos Aires exchange here. First, we ended up seeing the million and a half reduction in plantings, and I think that's a very logical kind of reduction coming out of there because of the amount of double crops they have out in Argentina. The dry conditions here, so as people have mentioned, this is late July, so it's pretty late to start putting double crops in after wheat or barley or whatever. And then we had the exciting news this morning that they've had anywhere from a 17 to 25% decline in production from the same exchange being put out there on 8 o'clock this morning, and so that's provided some very interesting talking points, to say the least, here as to what size of crop we do have down there in Argentina.
Do you think the trade, Jerry, reacts negatively in a volatile fashion Sunday night if we see generous rains in Argentina?
Oh, definitely. It's well tied into it. I'd have to say the interesting twist on it today is we're staring at this thing. Outside markets were trash. You know, we had the energy was down, the stock market was down. We recovered very strongly with the forecast and this news we got this morning. And then as the day went on, it kind of floundered a little bit, and the rest of those other markets came back strongly. We got a $2.50 rally in the crude oil markets and that. Yet the grain markets started to say, well, we didn't make new highs, so I better take some profits here, and we backed out a little bit. But I think it's going to be really volatile next week, and it can be quite dynamic both directions. If we make new highs of this thing above the 1037 market basis to March, beans, we could be at 1060 a quick order. We could be, if things don't look very good on the forecast for next week, and we have that quarter to three quarters, and I would definitely agree with you that's the general expectations of people as to what they think the thing is. If it's that and no particular rains in front of us, I think the thing keeps percolating. It takes its technicals. I think the funds are starting to be a little more active in this market, and we could have things move up towards the $11 mark pretty quickly if we had the wrong forecast. Now, we get the other side of the situation. We get ourselves a quarter, three quarters, more rain on the way, back off a little bit, but we do need more rain. This is not going to be a deciding rain. Even if we have an inch rain, I think it's not going to be the decider for the complete soybean market, because this is late July, and it's not going to rain every place down there, likely.
If I'm a farmer and I've got corn in the bin, what would your target be, your time frame to be selling it?
Oh, boy. That corn market is so tough to get any kind of follow-through enthusiasm because of the negative attitudes about demand and particular scenarios we've got here on the world export scenario. And I pointed out we had the best exports we've had in, it's been February 14th. Went back and looked at it last year. It was 44 million, I think it was. And so it's nearly a year we've had since we've had over a million metric tons on corn. If we had the explosive side of the market here and we took us out above the 1037, I'd be kind of zeroing in on that 1025 or 425 zone. Maybe a chance at the wildest upside here would be 440. That's a huge gap up there on the technical charts, as I think all of us know in this business, and that's a huge barrier we've got to get over. And I don't think we're going to get over it until we can find a scenario where all of a sudden we're not planting 3 or 4 million extra, 3 or 4 million acres of corn this spring. And it's not impossible. We all know that the input side of this thing has really stunted people's expectations about planting corn. And how that's really going to play out, I think it's going to be very interesting with all these changes in costs and how we see the revenue numbers here in insurance. We've got lots of different decisions that's still going to be made between now and May 1st.
Jerry, you're in ranching country and oil country and crew cab pickup truck country. Tell us how the farmers and ranchers and oil people are surviving this economic downtrend. Are you looking for a quick turnaround? What's your gut feel down there?
I'm not the one that's in Texas. I'm the one in Chicago. So my partner is the one that deals with his cattle people a lot. But I'd have to say that definitely the cattle business has been a tough, tough go in here, and the investing cattle side of things has really been beat up from there. The energy side of the thing, from the standpoint of crude oil prices, I think to some extent, and I'll have to be a representative of the person that drives in traffic in Chicago, and this week particularly, maybe it's because it's cold, maybe because it's the price of gasoline is $2.15 instead of $4.15. The traffic has got a lot more in Chicago. I think the demand issues on energy are going to start picking up in here. I think, not that I think that we're going anywhere close to $100, but I think we're going to have to respond in the energy scenario back into the $65, $70, maybe by the time we get to the typical driving season starts, of course, in May, and 4th of July, maybe the top side of it from there. I think that's going to be a positive under this market as we go along. I think we finally come to the point where there's people that's taken their tax cut right there in the energy tank by filling up, and they're starting to utilize it and starting to maybe do some demand features as we get into the spring.
What are you and the Chicago traders hopeful that President Obama will bring back to Chicago?
I don't know that there's anything particularly connected from there. I guess to some extent, I think there's a lot of people just hoping he doesn't mess things too much up and things like that. But from the standpoint of the stimulus package and that, I think the one pointed out about the barge situation and that and getting mm-hmm. that scenario together, I would think that's definitely a positive from the commercial side of the people in Chicago and also the traders. They all understand that that's going to be a positive for us long term. From the standpoint of the some kind of bailout for the ethanol companies, I don't know. There's not as much enthusiasm for that from there, partly because of the ethanol people rushed in there with such a huge push on things, and to some extent they created a little bit of their own problem. But I don't know as to just a general pickup of demand on an overall basis. And I think going for infrastructure and things of that nature and not, along with the tax cut, of course, that combination is a good combination versus maybe putting all the money into the Wall Street crowd where it just seems like it was into a rat hole there.
Well, let's see. Maybe we can poll everybody. We've got about 3 minutes left. What do you think would be good on the agenda to come back to the Midwest? I've got a list for farmers and agriculture. The list I have includes probably E15, inheritance tax, capital gains tax. Let's see, update the locks and dams. What am I forgetting? Anything else that might be on a short list?
Energy grid. Better energy grids.
Better energy grid.
That's on his agenda.
Yeah, that
wind power.
Wind power is probably on his agenda, too. Anything else? Anybody else come up with anything? Okay, Jerry, back to the questions at hand then. I asked this of the panelists, and maybe we should get an answer from you, too. Are you generally bearish, bullish, or neutral corn and soybeans?
Well, I'm definitely positive in the near term here because of the uncertainties that are coming out of South America. I'd have to say, though, that if we had some kind of emotional push on here and weather that would jack this market up in a dynamic fashion here that would push it towards the, you know, particularly my high side of numbers there, that 440 area, when we got beans up into that 10, well, close to $11 or above, I think producers have really also got to think about making some sales up in there, pushing their old crop scenarios here. And I totally agree with some of the comments here about condition of this year's corn. I was out over the Christmas holidays and made some trips around west central Iowa and that where I grew up. There's some pretty nasty black-looking piles out there, to be very frank. And there's going to be some of this corn that's sitting out there is going to turn into feed usage that we don't see along the way because of the fact that it was put in there at 23% to 25%, got rain on it, didn't get taken care of. There's going to be bends like that, too, out there. And I think that's another issue in the corn that's going to maybe take a little of this 1.8 billion carryover stock.
Jerry, thanks for being with us.
Take care.
Jerry Goodell is with North America Risk Management. A final word from the panelist in studio, Brian Stark of the Andersons.
If you're going to hold on to any grain, I would hold new crop corn sales and be long old crop beans.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I think it's time to keep a close eye on the weather and also to watch your grain bins. Check them. Turn the fans on. See what it smells like.
Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
We wish the new president all the best in the world, and we wish him a lot of success as well as getting our U.S. economy going again.
That's this January 23rd edition of Commodity Week. You have a good week. Visit us on the website if you can at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.